McGriddles for just $1 each. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities.
Only one Mid-South radio station offers Rewind. Rewind. Never miss a moment. Like a DVR for radio. Rewind. Just use 92.9 FM ESPN on the free radio.com app or online at 92.9ESPN.com. Never miss a moment with 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South smart speaker station. Just say, play 92.9 ESPN. Only one Mid-South radio station offers Rewind. Rewind. Never miss a moment. Like a DVR for radio. Rewind. Just use 92.9 FM ESPN on the free radio.com app or online at 92.9ESPN.com. Never miss a moment with 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South smart speaker station. Just say, play 92.9 ESPN. The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers, just say, play 92.9 ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sane from SI's All Grizz.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. This is Anthony Sane, of course. Me and Jeffrey just wrapped up a segment talking about married life. Now we're about to do this Chris Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington, you're speaking my language, man, but what are we listening to?
That is Protect Your Neck by Wu-Tang Clan. They're sort of full posse cut. Lead verse there is from Inspector Deck, born on this day in 1970.
You're definitely speaking my language, Chris. You're talking to... I used to be a huge Wu-Tang Clan fan back in high school, and this was during the era of, well, of course, 3-6 Mafia was big in Memphis, plus it was those guys plus No Limit all happened right at the same time. And I was the one in school where I was wearing the fatigues and the Wu-Tang Clan shirt and the dog tags and the Timberland boots. Like, that was me in high school because I was a huge Wu-Tang fan. But, yeah, shout out to Inspector Deck. You said this is his birthday today?
Inspector Deck, born on this day in 1970.
Yeah,
I was always a little bit more of an East Coast hip hop guy myself, even being in Memphis.
Did you watch the show on Hulu, the Wu-Tang Clan series?
No, I need to do that. I have not done that.
Exit was surprisingly good. I thought it would be terrible. I wasn't a fan of the casting. I didn't think anybody really looked like themselves. But the guy who played the same guy who played Miles Morales in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. He was Raekwon, and he literally became Raekwon for this show. He was excellent. That guy's pretty good. I think his name is Shameek somebody, something like that.
All right.
But yeah, he killed it. Is Raekwon.
I'll check that out. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Wu-Tang solo record in the Wu-Tang universe?
If I could only listen to one, it would be "Can It Be All So Simple." Like, as far as like collaborative.
That's a song, though. I meant album.
Oh, album. Oh, Enter the Wu-Tang Clan. No, I'm sorry. Wu-Tang Forever, the double CD, was the best one.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as, like, collaborative, like, as far as, like, them doing albums as a group, but as far as, like, solo, I'm probably going with either the first Raekwon or the first Ghostface.
I'm going, the very first Wu-Tang record is my favorite of the group records, Enter the Wu-Tang, but mm-hmm. I think my favorite of the solo stuff is, I love the first Ghostface, but I think my favorite is actually Fishgale,
mm-hmm.
which is a later
Ghost. Third one, I got you, yeah.
Yeah, third or fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Supreme Clientele was
the second.
Yeah, it was very good as well. But yeah, man, shout out to you playing some Wu-Tang Clan to start off today. Well, let's talk about this, Chris. The Grizzlies have been very cooperative, so to speak, with us as far as they're giving us basically at least one or two people to talk to literally every day. They even had someone yesterday on the Sunday. They didn't give us anyone for the 4th of July, of course. But since the last time we've spoken, we've talked to Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, Coach Jenkins, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Anthony Tolliver. I'll talk about which one stood out to me. But did any particular interview stand out to you out of those guys?
I, I haven't personally been on all of them. Drew Hill and I have been sort of tag teaming that.
Right.
I was interested. I mean, Anthony Tolliver is the least, you know, important relative to the Grizzlies of all those people. But I sort of volunteered to jump on that one because I was interested in the fact that he is an officer with with the Players Association.
And he's I didn't know that until you said that. Yep.
Yeah, he's secretary treasurer, so he's like in the inner circle. And to me, it says a lot about him and the respect he has, like the guy-to-guy he is, the respect he has among players, because most of the guys who are officers are like more significant players, right? It's Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala and Malcolm Brogdon and, you know, guys who are star-level players or like major players on their teams. And Anthony Tolliver is a guy who's like barely in the league, honestly. Like he's like a 12, 13-year veteran doing 10-day contracts. And there aren't any other guys like that who have that level of sort of, you know, standing and in the Players Association. So I think that says a lot about him and the kind of, you know, the quality of person he is. And then I just was interested in talking to him about that because I figured this is the story of the week in the NBA, and he is, you know, he is a particular, like, you know, you know, entry to it. And to me, even he even made sort of quasi-news in response to the question I asked him when he said that the day before he had talked to us, which I guess is Friday he had talked to us, the day before that he had made a proposal to the rest of the executive committee of the Players Union about, you know, maybe they should bring a pool of free agents into the bubble in case, you know, multiple players get tested on a team and you can sign guys. So, you know, he was a little bit of a newsmaker in his.
And it was I was interested because I was unaware that he had a position with the Players Association as well. And then you know, I hate to hear people say things like, well, I hate to, when it comes to black athletes, I hate to hear people say, well, he's so well-spoken, as opposed to what did you think he was going to sound like? You know what I mean? So
right.
I hate to say those type of things. I want to make sure people understand that's not what I'm saying. But he was eloquent about the things he was talking about. And he was clearly more than just, you know, just a basketball player. He expressed his concerns about social activism. He had a great sense of the bubble and how the bubble's going to work down there. And his plan, like you said, to have free agents that have already been under quarantine, that are already getting tested every day, that are already ready. So just in case something happens, you've got these guys here who can have the opportunity, you know, to get paid and, you know, be a part of a team and they're ready to go. I think that's a great idea because he's thinking like for himself. You know, he could have been one of those guys maybe. So,
That's a good point, because if he hadn't been signed to a 10-day by the Grizzlies, he could totally be one of the guys in the free agent pool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you said, he's probably not going to do much as far as contributing on the court for the Grizzlies at all, and he seems to be fine with it. But he's one of those guys, man. Like, and another interesting thing about him, like as far as the kind of guy he is, you always see these guys in the league who they're not the greatest players in the world. But they seem to be in the league for a long time, and everyone misses them when they're gone, but they're never anywhere alone. Like, it's just this weird mystery of these type of players, and Anthony Tolliver is clearly one of them. I can think of a lot of them just in my head. I just can't think of their names right now. But why do you think guys like that just tend to stick around?
You know, with Tolliver, and one of the things that was interesting that he said in that Zoom, which I don't think we've heard before, and who knows what will happen with it, but he said, when he was a free agent, you know, when he was, because his 10-day had ended, and so he was technically a free agent during the downtime, he said that, you know, he had talked to the Grizzlies not only about signing a new contract with them, which they were planning on doing before things shut down, but he had talked to them about next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's not going to be the priority for the Grizzlies. They, you know, they're going to have their order of operations of stuff they have to deal with, and, like, Anthony Tolliver is at the bottom of the list, not the top of it. So who knows if they actually would bring him back next year. I mean, I think it depends on whether there's an open roster spot for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is exactly the kind of player, it's sort of like Solomon Hill when he was here. He's the kind of player who's great to have at the back end of your roster because you don't have to play him. He's not going to cause any problems for you if he's not playing. But if you have injuries and you need to play him, like, he can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he plays smart. He's a veteran. He plays smart team defense. He can knock down open threes. Sort of similar to Solomon Hill in that way. Like, you can throw him on the floor and he won't hurt you. He's not going to complain if he's not playing. And then he's a positive in the locker room. He's the oldest guy on this team by 5 years. And so that sort of veteran, like, locker room presence that we've talked about with Solomon Hill and Vince Carter and some of those kind of guys, Anthony Tolliver is exactly, or Garrett Temple, Anthony Tolliver is exactly that kind of player. So he's like a great guy to have to me at the, you know, the end of your bench.
And I remember you were there as well when we went to the Atlanta game, the road game. Like, he was in the locker room, like, being super silly and joking around with the guys. He wasn't being distant. Like,
that was his, like, first game.
Yeah, very first game. And he was, you know, he was locked in. He gets a lot of jokes because he's one of those guys who's, he's 35, but people say he looks a lot older, and he's looked 35 all his career or whatever. But I just think he's a great guy, man. Like you said, just a good guy to have in that locker room, following in that Garrett Temple, Solomon Hill mold like we've had with this organization over the last few years.
Right.
Also, as well, we talked to Tyus Jones and Ja Morant. Both are guys who have very small children. Ja talked about how when he goes to the bubble, he's going to miss his daughter's birthday. Not that that's something that's really – I mean, that's, of course, that's a big deal. But it might have been a chance he might have missed his daughter's birthday even if there wasn't a pandemic or there wasn't, you know, they weren't in a bubble. He very, very well could have had a road game,
right,
or whatever. But,
right,
of course, that's something to be concerned about. And Tyus Jones has a small child as well that's even younger than Ja's child. What do you think it's like for these guys who – because we're both parents, you know, but we're a little older.
Right.
What do you think it's like for these guys that are in their early 20s that have to – they have to do what they have to do to make the bacon or to provide for their families, but now they're going to be gone from these very small children at such a young age?
You know, I sort of wondered if that you know, because Tyus Jones had expressed some concerns about the bubble,
right,
anyway, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So he is one of the players I most wondered about
if he would have
opted out, which would have been a totally defensible thing to do,
mm-hmm,
and still would be. But I think you make a good point about travel and separation is so built into the lifestyles of these players in season anyway,
right,
that it'd probably be a little bit different for them than it would be for us, you know, at the same age where, mm-hmm, you know, where we not working jobs where, you know, you're going on a week long road trip and you're literally playing like half of your work days in terms of games are happening in other cities. And it's just sort of part of the lifestyle. And so it's not to say that separation is not hard for them, but I think in some ways they're a little bit better equipped to deal with it,
right,
than most people are because it's part of the culture of the job.
And it's like, you know, we kind of grew up in a culture where you heard about the Sean Kemps of the world or the Antoine Walker or whoever, like guys that were absentee from their kids. But we see Ja and Tyus, you know,
right,
all the time in these kids' lives. And something that me and Jeffrey talked about in the earlier segment is how we manage life and we manage stress differently in our 30s than we did in our 20s or whatever. So you just have to be concerned how these guys – because, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you're trying to be Superman, especially if you have a young family. You're trying to, you know, fix everything in one swipe. And I just hope that these guys try to find that balance and do what's best for their family and still able to, you know, spend their time with their children before they leave. Something else that I picked up from it is that Jaren Jackson, his hair grew, of course. His hair's a little longer. But Jaren just seems like he's simply ready to play basketball. He seems like he's, you know, he's healed and he's just ready to get out there.
Well, he's a guy who doesn't have kids, right? He's not married. He doesn't have – he is more of a traditional 20-year-old, like your typical 20-year-old who is not encumbered in sort of those ways. And to your point, he had been hurt, and so he was chomping at the bit to get out of the floor even before things shut down. And so, yeah, he would seem to be one of the people. Like, if I were just sort of trying to guess, and you never know because everyone's an individual.
Right.
If you were trying to guess on the outside, who would be most likely to sort of to opt out or to have concerns about going, and who would be least likely? Jared would have been on my least likely list.
Yeah.
You know, for all those reasons.
I think Jared's probably like, as long as I can bring my game, my music, and my studio, like, I'm good.
Right.
Like, I think I'll be fine. Coach Jenkins talked about Justice Winslow, saying that he thinks that his position is going to be playmaker. You hear that a lot of times. It's something that's pretty much a cliche statement. I was talking to Cam Rose, my co-host with my podcast.
Shout out to Cam.
Yeah, shout out to Cam Rose, a man of mystery. Cam basically said, he called me, he's like, bro, I think Winslow's going to be the shooting guard and not the three. It's like, okay. I said, so what was your thinking? Why did you say that? He said, well, When Ja got interviewed, he said, you know, Justice, me and him in the backcourt is going to be good. And then Coach was saying that, you know, he's going to do a lot of stuff with Justice, where Ja and Tyus on the court, how I can still use Justice, whatever. Do you think it's going to be what position do you think he starts in? Do you think he's your two, your three? How do you use him? Because we know that Dylan can play the three, so how do you think they end up using Tyus?
Well, I wrote – there's a difference in what I think will happen and what I think should happen. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column today making the proposal that D'Anthony Melton should be the fifth starter in Orlando.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily saying he should be the fifth starter next season, but I think there's various reasons in terms of the defensive matchups. The teams that they're going to play, they're going to play a heavy – in those eight seeded games, playing a heavy group of teams that have lots of scorers who are smaller guards.
Right.
You know, Portland with Lillard and McCollum, and Toronto with Lowry and Van Vliet, mm-hmm. and Oklahoma City with Paul and Alexander and Dennis Schroeder, and then, you know, Utah with Mitchell and Conley. They're playing a lot of small backcourts that where teams get about most of their offense from those backcourts. So I think D'Anthony Melton, to me, his defense against pure guards is going to be really valuable in Orlando. And I also think, like, no one's played since mid-March, so everyone's got some rust to shake off. But Justice Winslow hasn't played. He played one game in January and hasn't really played since December. And so I think this is not a regular season where you have a training camp and then you got 82 games to figure yourself out. You got to be ready to go game one. And right. So for all those reasons, I actually think they should start Melton and bring Winslow off the bench. However, I mean, to the point, sort of the question, I think if you're playing Winslow and Brooks together on the wing, to some level, it's sort of interchangeable. It's not clear like who's a two and who's a three. But I do think because Winslow is more of a ball handler, I think one of the points I made about the Melton thing is I think the Grizzlies have benefited when they've had another ball handler next to Melton. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, next to Morant. And I think Dylan Brooks is actually better when there's another ball handler there and he's not freelancing with the ball as much. I think it puts Dylan Brooks into more of a shooting role and less of a playing with the ball role. So I do think if and when they play Morant, Winslow, Brooks, I think Winslow's ball handling will make him more of the two, and I think will help Dylan Brooks sort of, you know, calm down a little bit.
Well, Justice Winslow last week made a tremendous donation to the Houston area, and I was just doing math on it. He said that he provided meals for over 600,000 people in Houston. I thought it was a typo when I first saw it.
That sounds like a typo to me.
And I'll have to double-check it. But Carmen Darden, who writes for AllGrizzlies.com, she shined the light on it. Because I know he donated funds to him and Elliot Perry came together, and they fed like 500 people in Memphis. But with Winslow doing something like that, and then you have a guy like Tolliver, who, you know, he was one of the guys who came out saying, like, when the COVID-19 thing first hit, he was like, hey, check on your neighbors. Pay their bills if they need you to pay something for them. Make sure that everyone in your neighborhood has something to eat. And when you got these type of guys on your team, those are the kind of guys that Memphis is going to cling to, because we remember the things that, you know, that the T.A. did, that Z-Bo did, Conley did, Mark did, Mike, all these guys.
Right.
I think I think those kind of guys are great guys to have on your team. But with that being said, Justice is kind of a different type of guy. You know, he's into the arts, he's into music. He's not your grit and grind type of guy off the court. But I think the things he does on the court definitely can make him be loved by the fans. Plus the fact he's dishing out food to people.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely odd to have a player on the team this long and having never really had him play for the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously he'll be one of the most interesting questions about Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, even though I've made the case, in the column and then here, that I think the smart move for the Grizzlies in Orlando is for Melton to start. My guess is that it'll be Winslow. I mean, they traded for him with that purpose in mind, and I think they'll probably go ahead and do it instead of waiting until next season.
Well, something else as far as the Grizzlies are concerned is whenever you talk to Coach Jenkins, really any of the guys, they don't really get into the hype stuff. I try to get Coach Jenkins to go there, and he won't go. He never will go for me. Ja will go there sometimes. But with the preseason the scrimmage games being released, it said that the Grizzlies are going to play Philadelphia as well as Miami and Houston. That Miami game has some intrigue because former Grizzly Andre Iguodala gets to play against the Grizzlies. I don't know what those games are going to actually look like. I don't know if it's going to be a 12-minute quarter, four-quarter game, or what they're going to be doing. I'm not sure they're going to be televised. I doubt they will be. But do you think that the guys on that team, namely Dylan Brooks, are going to get into the whole Andre Iguodala thing?
No, not in that scenario, in a scrimmage, and no, I doubt it. Yeah. Although Tolliver did sort of make a joke about Iguodala at the end of his thing, because Iguodala is also on the players' committee, executive committee with him, and he sort of joked about Iguodala not seeing the Grizzlies as a place where he could win. But I don't know. Honestly, I think if it were like a real game that were televised, maybe. But I don't. I think we have made, and I know Dylan Brooks said some stuff, but I think generally fans and media have made more of the Iguodala thing than is really there.
It's us. It's 100% us. Yeah, that's definitely true. Final thing to talk about, Chris. I'm not sure how much you get into the Joey Chestnut stuff with the whole the hot dog eating contest.
I saw it once by accident. I never want to see it again. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, probably.
I definitely agree with that. But what's your general take on hot dogs, Chris? I think the hot dogs are very, very underrated American cuisine.
I'm not a big hot dog guy, and once I went to college and in the upper Midwest, and so I never had a brat until I went to college, and like brats are big in that part of the country, and once I had brats, there was no reason to go back to hot dogs. And so if I'm cooking at home, I'm going to get a cook brats, not hot dogs. And so I don't really like hot dogs. The only way I'm going to eat one is if they're grilled and just about blackened.
Right. I think brats are freaking disgusting, but to each his own.
Okay.
Now, are you a bigger fan of a brat or of a Circle B, like Hot Link Red Smoked Sausage?
I'm not gonna get one of those from a Quickie Mart, but I will tell you, to me, the best quote unquote hot dog or any variation in Memphis is the smoked sausage at Payne's, which is basically one of those like red smoked sausages. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure they deep fry them because they're crunchy, and so they give them a dip, and then you cover them with their slaw and their hot sauce, and that. My favorite like tube of meat to eat in a bun in all of the city of Memphis is going to be the smoked sausage at Payne's Barbecue.
And it's a hot link. It's a red smoked sausage.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I might go grab one of those as soon as we wrap up. But Payne's has weird hours though, man. Like when are they open?
When are they finally open? They were closed for forever. When COVID hit, and even when restaurants were allowed to reopen for takeout, they didn't do it. And then about 2 weeks ago, they reopened. And so they're not open. Say Monday, they're not open on Mondays. So you may want to wait till tomorrow on that.
Okay, because I always seemed to catch them when they were closed. I don't know what I was doing wrong. This is way before COVID. Seems like I was always catching them at the wrong time. But, yeah, that hot link sounds like a winner, bro. I don't know if you noticed, I'm turning to George Lapidus as far as endorsing food on the air. I don't know if you've noticed that or not since I've been on.
You need to start getting paid for it,
exactly,
like George did.
Exactly. I'd be in a whole other place if that was the case, yeah. But, yeah, but Chris, we're going to let you go, man. Let you enjoy the rest of your day, bro.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. Give us some interesting takes as far as the Grizzlies are concerned. Chris is saying that he would start DeAnthony Melton as the shooting guard when it goes to Orlando just because of the case that he's ready. He's been around. He's been playing. But he feels like that's not actually what's going to happen.
It feels like Melton's more of a known right now, a known quantity, whereas I do understand, though, why you're choosing to go with Winslow. This, in general, the bubble's going to be somewhat of like a free shot for the Grizzlies.
Right.
I do think maybe now that there's some expectations, there could be some disappointment if they end up not making it. But you're basically getting about roughly a 100-game trial run with Justice Winslow. Why not see in games that matter? See how it looks.
Yeah, you got to see. You got to see what.
And everyone's basically starting from training camp at this point. So, I do think though there is a case to be made for Melton in the sense that you know what he is. You have seen, how he pairs with Ja. It also helps you significantly on the defensive end.
Right.
And so maybe the thought process would be, why not break up Justice and have him with the second unit and be kind of the number one defensive guy on that unit? With that being said, I think selfishly, like I just kind of want to see, I think it's twofold for me selfishly.
I want to see Justice right now.
I want to see Justice. And then number two, listen, I'm pro player as much as you can be. Mm-hmm. Get all the money you can get.
Yeah,
this is your chance. I would also like for DeAnthony not play 38 to 40 minutes a game and then have someone come in and just give him $55 million.
Exactly.
And you're like, well, that we're officially priced out of this neighborhood. Moving on. But to me, you look at what Melton basically from January 1 on, Melton was every bit the difference maker in terms of, you know, point percent, you know, on-off points as basically anyone else was on the roster.
Right.
And it's because, A, defensive havoc creator, and then he's just a freak athlete.
I think having Justice on the court, something that Chris talked about as well, is you have him to it gets Dylan Brooks off the ball. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It makes Brooks more of a catch and shoot guy, which his numbers were much better in those type of situations, just flat out shooting threes, than he was going to the basket, taking mid range shots or whatever he was doing. But yeah, I think
the other thing that was strange about Dylan, did you notice this? Sam Vecenie at The Athletic did a big write up of the Grizzlies. I think it was every Grizzlies player that's on a rookie deal or the Grizzlies have the rights to.
Right.
I, like you, was like, okay, well, Dylan's just a better shooter, catch and shoot. Like, not trying to pull up and shoot a three or, you know, that 15-footer. It was even more specific than that. If you look at, you know, essentially the right wing three.
Oh, yeah. It's automatic.
Versus the left. Like, it was staggering to see the numbers, how much worse he was shooting from the left-hand side. And, you know, I think maybe that also might – remember when we were trying to figure out during the slump, okay, is this a slump? Is this, is this all mental? Is this just an 82-game season? Like, to think that someone is, okay, he's a 38% three-point shooter, he's just going to shoot on average 38%. It's like, well, no, that's not how a season
it's
works.
All, it's
like,
all situational, yeah.
Right, and so is this just a downtime? I think the better answer is scouting report was on. If you make Dylan shoot from the left, he's not as good versus letting him shoot from the right. And so I'm interested to see, is that been corrected or is it correctable?
Well, the Grizzlies are a team that definitely, you know, pays attention to analytics and things like that, so I'm sure they're on it as well. But, yeah, we're going to take a break, man. When we come back, we'll wrap up the last segment of this hour. We're going to talk more about the Grizzlies and just a lot of sports news in general. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 99 FM ESPN.
Only one Mid-South radio station offers Rewind. Rewind. Never miss a moment. Like a DVR for radio. Rewind. Just use 92.9 FM ESPN on the free radio.com app or online at 92.9ESPN.com. Never miss a moment with 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South smart speaker station. Just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Summertime is here. You're going to be by the pool. You're going to be in the yard. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're doing those things. And if so, New Amsterdam Vodka is perfect for making great summertime drinks. New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium, 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It's so smooth, you can drink it straight. And yes, I swear to you, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. There's an 80-proof New Amsterdam vodka. There's a 100-proof New Amsterdam vodka. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor, so make sure to keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also makes a gluten-free vodka, so if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
At Advance Auto Parts, we take the guesswork out of your oil change. Our experts will help you find the right oil, the right filter, at the right price every day. Get 5 quarts of full synthetic Valvoline, Mobil 1, Castrol Edge, or Pennzoil Platinum with a Fram Titanium Oil Filter for just $33.99. Plus, this July, we're donating $1 to Building Homes for Heroes with every 5-quart bottle of Valvoline sold. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale. Save up to $500 when you get a king mattress for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699. And get 50% off select mattresses from our top-rated brands like Beautyrest, Serta, and Sleepy's. Shop in-store, online at MattressFirm.com, or by phone with a sleep expert for these amazing deals. Hurry in, only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. Some hot buys only available online. For offer details, visit MattressFirm.com/sale.
All law firms are not the same. There's only one Morgan & Morgan for the people.
No. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sane from SI's All Grizz.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I thought I'd overslept for a minute, Jeffrey. I thought I woke up and I was sitting in Giannotto's seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, we got some.
Listen, hey, first day back.
Hey, it's all good, brother. It's all good. Trust me. Got some nice little piece of information in my hands. It's hot off the press here, Jeff. We got the ESPN released their NBA power rankings.
Oh, yeah.
As well as their big questions for all 22 teams ahead of the restart. Are we going 1 through 22, or are we just going to talk about where the Grizzlies are? How did you want to handle this, Jeff?
Well, I was thinking about starting with where the Grizzlies are.
Okay. And are you alarmed by where the Grizzlies are?
Alarmed is probably a stretch. I will say this. The New Orleans Pelicans right now, they have that thing that I guess maybe like the Cleveland Browns have had recently, right, where it's like there is so much hype and there's so much confidence in them with so few results that it kind of makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. It makes you think that if the New Orleans Pelicans shaved their pubes, that 95% mm-hmm. of the national media
yes.
would be decapitated.
Yes, absolutely. And
it's one of those type
it's
of
like
situations.
Literally they take a dump and everyone's just like, God.
Oh, my God. Did you see those peanuts?
look at the viscosity. What a dump. One solid piece. Oh, Zion.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
that guy's hydrated.
How does he do it?
That guy's so hydrated. Look at the consistency.
Gosh.
Of this.
I mean, it was like the toilet got cleaner. I mean, how did this happen?
Exactly. Yeah, man. But taking a look at it, the Memphis Grizzlies are at number 17. I'll read what they have to say. This is by Tim McMahon. Tim McMahon says, what can the Grizzlies get from Justice Winslow? That's the question, because I said that it's big questions ahead for all teams. It says, what can the Grizzlies get from Justice Winslow? The Grizzlies, whose goal is to hang on to the 8th seed in the West, would use camp to get Winslow up to speed and comfortable in their system. They paid a steep price to get Winslow in a midseason trade with the Heat because the Grizzlies believe the athletic, playmaking 23-year-old forward will fit well with their promising young core led by Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Winslow, who has been sidelined because of a back injury, was on the verge of making his Memphis debut when the season was halted. He's fully healthy now and will have much more practice time than anticipated before he gets rolling with the Grizzlies. They have the Grizzlies ranked 17th. Memphis Grizzlies record is 32-33. Title odds. What did you think the title odds for the Grizzlies would be? You're a betting man, so what did you have those being?
It's either going to be something around plus 10,000 or, you know, maybe even higher, like plus 20,000.
Okay, I'm not a betting man, but this number seems huge beside the Memphis Grizzlies. We're at 17 in their power ranking, and their title odds are plus 50,000. That seems like a very big number.
Yeah, especially in the West,
mm-hmm.
it's viewed as there are two real contenders, the Clippers and the Lakers, and then the third team in terms of betting odds is Houston. Because I think there is still the idea that with the way that Houston plays basketball,
mm-hmm.
that they could be – they're a stylistic, like, curiosity.
Right.
And so beyond that, like once you get outside of those few teams, I mean, even Denver right now, Denver, I think, has worse odds than Houston. And you know, Denver's been a really good basketball team this year. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just this idea of, well, the Grizzlies at best are going to have to play the Lakers most likely. And what, you know what I mean? Like there's in the end, it's all a term of risk, and there's not much risk to entice you to take the Grizzlies.
Well, here's my thing. I understand that, okay, you got the Grizzlies at 17, which of course means that either the Pelicans or the Blazers are above the Grizzlies as far as the
In fact, both of them.
they've got the Pelicans and the Blazers being better than the Grizzlies. The Pelicans are 28-36 on the season. Title odds, a surprising number, +5,000 as opposed to +50,000 for the Grizzlies. So,
yeah, and what I would say on that is there's the idea of because the Pelicans are clearly such a of all the eight seeds, I think we can agree the Pelicans are the biggest national story.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas is going to knock the odds down because there's going to be more money on the Pelicans than there is on the Grizzlies. And so they're trying to minimize their exposure there where, while neither team is likely to, let alone get out of the first round, to win a title on the off chance that, you know, hell freezes over, because this is going to be this is a complete unknown in terms of what is this bubble going to look like? What games are going to, you know, what, we don't know. Like, we've never seen anything like this in our lives. So to protect themselves from things getting weird, they're going to knock down the Pelicans. They're going to knock down their odds. But in general, that's still an unbelievable long shot.
Yeah. But it's all kind of crazy, man. I was talking to Ja in the Zoom conference we had over the weekend.
Thursday, right?
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, it might have been Thursday. Yeah,
I think it was Thursday. Yeah, but yeah. Thursday felt like Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Man, since COVID-19, I don't know what day of the week it
completely
is.
Completely agree.
Man. Like, every day seems like the wrong day.
Time stands still.
Right. And so I asked Ja, I said, okay, you guys are counting you guys out. Is that a distraction or is it motivation? Quick answer from Ja, it's motivation. Like, they've been sleeping on this whole time. I think Ja's going to be super locked in when all this goes down, man. Like, I think he feeds off of this type of stuff. And he's been an underdog forever, you know, unranked guy, you know, went to a small school. I think you might see a version of Ja Morant going into this bubble that we haven't seen yet. He's healthier now. Everyone's saying, yeah, man, Ja's looking like college Ja. I think he's jumping higher. I think he's faster. I think that knee is 100% now.
And while it's not quite exactly the same, mm-hmm. it does feel like we're kind of in off-season mode mm-hmm. of everybody got bigger, everybody got stronger, everybody mm-hmm. got faster.
Because this is a long time. Their break.
That was 4 months,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, that break was a long
and
break.
I mean, we're still 25 days away from them tipping off. So, but I do actually think from everyone that's seen him, Ja has put on some weight.
Yeah.
And it ain't bad weight.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think that – I think something that clearly stood out to him, because he's mentioned it a little bit, and I know T, his father, has talked about it some too. The season kind of wore on him a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and he realized, like, okay, explosion's not quite there. Like, you know, like, I'm used to having it throughout the course of a season. And to me, it makes all the sense in the world – all right, I got to get bigger. I got to get stronger. And when I get down there, there's not going to be an excuse. There's not going to be, okay, well, I'm tired, or, you know, this is the first time I've ever played 82 mm-hmm. games, or, you know, whatever, 60-something, 65, I guess he was on pace for about 65, 70 games.
Right.
There's no excuse anymore. It's, I'm hitting the ground running, and you are 100% right, though, that he is definitely the chip on the shoulder, please doubt me, because it fuels me. Which brings me to the team that I still think is the most overlooked team in this entire thing, in terms of fighting for the eight.
Who is it?
I think it's the Kings.
Oh yeah, man.
And De'Aaron Fox is Mr. Please doubt me.
Right, because he feels some type of way about Ja.
Like, exactly.
I don't know if people have picked up on it or not. Like, De'Aaron Fox.
No, there's a forgot about Dre element,
man.
There.
right, because De'Aaron Fox is like, look, I was this guy before this guy was this guy, you know. So, and he gets up for the Grizzlies game big time. And like I said, a lot of people are sleeping on the Kings, man. They've got them at 18. Let me see what their odds are.
Their odds are as the 18th team, +20,000.
No, 200,000.
That's plus. Okay, that's a typo. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Because, I can tell you that.
Okay.
There's no sports book out there is offering that number. They put an extra zero in there.
Okay. Because it's got the Spurs at 100,000+100,000.
Correct.
And the Wizards.
Yeah, 20.
You can't have the Kings worse than them.
They're not gonna throw that number out there.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, they were the team that was clearly playing the best.
Yep.
And De'Aaron Fox is playing real well. Before we stopped, was playing really darn good basketball. And to me, I just look at how kind of their roster's built. I guess you can make a case that the Pelicans make more sense. But when I watch the Kings play and they play well, they would scare me more if I were Taylor Jenkins than the Pelicans do.
Right. Because, I mean, the Pelicans have underachieved the whole season.
Even with Zion, they're a 500 basketball team.
They're 10-9 with Zion.
Yeah, and one of those games doesn't count because he didn't play. Like, since he's been there, they're 7-7. Like, in terms of since February 1 of, everyone's looking at.
Right. You've been talking about the games that he actually played in. I guess.
They were 8-7. You were correct. Over that time, they were 8-7. But they beat Indiana one game, and he didn't play.
Yeah, I just think that there's definitely a few to the fire for this Grizzlies team. Like I said, if you ask John, it's going to be the first thing that comes out of his mouth. And if you look at him in the Zoom calls, he's not looking muscle bound, but you can tell that he's done some work over this break. And you talk about this break, I want to say, because the NBA season ends after the finals in June, so you got July, August, September. These guys are back in October.
Yep.
These guys have been out for
probably this has been longer. A legitimate offseason.
Yeah, it's been a legitimate offseason for these guys. And I think that with everyone coming back healthy, this Grizzly team is going to be a lot more dangerous than people are considering them to be. And Anthony Tolliver talked about it as well, about his team. They're young, but they're just wired different. Like, there's just something different about this team. And I think that also points to Coach Taylor Jenkins as well, as far as things that he's adding to this team, to their DNA or whatever.
Do you think the atmosphere plays – is it an advantage for the Grizzlies? Is it a disadvantage, the fact that, you know, no, there's not going to be any fans in the stands, and, you know, it's essentially going to be somewhat of a sterile environment.
Right. I think it's...
Does that play to them, or is it literally as simple as who the heck knows?
I think that it's a big unknown, because another factor about that, too, is shooting. I had a conversation with Cam Rose over the weekend about how would shooting be affected? Because, you know, some guys, they're practice shooters, and if there's no one in the gym, they can hit shots all day long. Now, you have to ask yourself, is that a matter of confidence, or is that a matter of that you're playing in an empty gym? You know what I mean?
And just think back. The simplest example I can give is NCAA tournament. When they go from, you know, they go from the first weekend playing largely in NBA arenas or NBA-type arenas, and then about half of those Elite Eight, Sweet 16 games are in the football stadiums, like that we see with the Final Four, and those games are usually gross because there is something about depth perception of shooting, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're used to playing in an arena your entire life, and all of a sudden now I'm on this raised floor in a football stadium.
You're literally playing on the big stage.
Yeah, well, like it just looks weird.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, stuff isn't where you're used to it being. So, yes, it's just all those things are going to be important factors, man. Like, you know, it's just like a lot of times when you're playing a home game, like you hear the rush of the crowd. Like, if you're about to take an open shot. Like, that anticipation, like, that's going to be gone. It's just going to be you taking the shot. So you don't know.
There's just an energy. Like, yeah.
We don't know.
Think about that Portland game right before the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a playoff game in terms of, like, the actual crowd and whatnot. Right.
But that crowd, like.
But there was an energy. Yeah, even that day.
Yep.
Like, I remember that day. I was like, oh, this feels like the buildup of a playoff game.
Right. And we came out there and kicked their butts. Yeah. That's definitely important. But something about that I think that comes to the Grizzlies' advantage as far as that goes is so many of these guys are just recently removed from playing the AAU situation. They're playing in tournaments where they're playing multiple games back-to-back or, you know, things like that. I think this environment is going to feel like that, you know what I mean? Because when they're playing these AAU games a lot of times, they might be playing in games where there are not many people there. You know what I mean? There are not many people in the crowds or whatever. Depends on how big of a profile the guys are. But there's so many question marks as far as, you know, what things would look like once you remove those fans. But I think the Grizzlies will try to find ways to make that an advantage. Plus, something we talked about last week as well while you were out, I think me and Chris talked about this, is another interesting dynamic is some of the teams, we don't know as far as safety goes. Some teams might be playing this whole eight seeding games very safe. Like,
yeah,
more than just, well, you know, we've got our spot, because there's nothing to play for. You're not playing for home court advantage. And some teams like, look, I just want a healthy Giannis. I just want a healthy Jason Tatum going into the playoffs. I don't care who we're playing. I don't care our seed. I just want all our guys here and safe when we start playing.
Put them in bubble wrap.
Right, exactly. So you know I'd be playing, you know, who knows, a bunch of G League guys in every game outside of the games that actually matter, like against Portland or against the Pelicans. You know, we don't know.
No, I think it's – I've said this. I think I said it to Jeff, and I definitely have said it to Mark. I think the best – in terms of, like, when you think about the attitude, the best comparison that I think that we're going to see down in Orlando is it's going to be a lot like college football bowl season, where sometimes you're going to see, you think a team on paper, it's like, oh, they for sure want to be there. And then about 3 minutes into the game, you're like, oh, they don't care at all. And then the other element that makes it fascinating that you point out is, well, if you look at the last three games for the Grizzlies, those three games are largely against Eastern Conference teams where where I presume at that point the standings are going to kind of be what they are. Also, I guess you could make the argument from a matchup perspective, but it's not as if anyone's fighting for
home court.
They
care. Like, I don't think they really care about it. I just think they just want to get out of this as safely as possible.
I completely agree. If you're Mike Budenholzer, what matters more, the one seed or Giannis?
Right. I think I'm trying to protect Giannis getting coughed and sneezed on more than anything. Like, I don't care about seed at this point because we are who
we
are.
Dude, go get a hazmat suit on and sit down.
Yeah, I don't think any of those last three games.
If you want to go hit the treadmill, I'm fine with that.
Right, exactly. Put a mask on.
Yeah.
Just stay away from the rest of the teams you have to play. But, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a break, man. After that, we're going to wrap this thing up.
I got the one story for you, buddy.
Oh, you got the one story for me?
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah, it's going to be a good one when we come back.
How many games are the Grizzlies going to win?
Oh, I got you.
In Orlando during the seeding games. I'll tell you that and more.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that, plus some other things as well. This is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So you have absolutely no idea how long I've waited to say these words. You can once again go have a fabulous dinner at Bounty on Broad. That's right. Bounty on Broad has reopened its beautiful, airy dining room. So go ahead and treat yourself, your family, and your friends. Get the incomparable Brussels sprouts. Get the Chilean salmon or, and I particularly love this one, the Berkshire pork shank. And whatever you do, save room for the best key lime pie I've ever had. Bounty waited a bit to reopen its dining room because they wanted to be absolutely sure to do it right. But now, my favorite restaurant is back. Bounty is open for dinner every day, but Monday, their Saturday and Sunday brunch is simply not to be missed. And of course, their impeccable curbside service is still available. So come on back to the city's original farm-to-table restaurant. Make your reservation today at bountyonbroad.com.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Are you a metalhead, reggae lover, EDM addict? Whatever your musical tastes, the radio.com app now makes it even easier for you to find more of the music you love. Use the new Explore feature to discover new stations that match your interests. We're talking hundreds of pop, classic rock, hip-hop, jazz, alternative stations, and more. Radio.com has something for everyone. News junkies and sports fanatics, find your local stations and podcasts covering your local community and your favorite teams. Download the Radio.com app on the App Store or Google Play.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contract at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
Every year, millions of Americans use opioids to manage pain. Pain can be unrelenting, overwhelming, and all-consuming. So why do so many of us try to manage pain only from the palm of our hands? Doctor-prescribed opioids are appropriate in some cases, but they just mask the pain. And reliance on opioids has led to the worst drug crisis in American history. That's why the CDC recommends safer alternatives, like physical therapy, to manage pain. Physical therapists treat pain through movement, hands-on care, and patient education. No warning labels required. And by increasing physical activity, you can also reduce your risk of other chronic diseases. Pain is personal, but treating pain takes teamwork. When it comes to your health, you have a choice. Choose more movement and better health. Choose physical therapy. Visit moveforwardpt.com to find a physical therapist in your area. This message is brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sain from SI's All Grizz.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, it's Anthony Sain from Sports Illustrated's All Grizzlies. Final segment of the show. Jeffrey, how you feeling, man? You feeling like you're back in the saddle? You had been gone for a while, man.
A little rusty.
Yeah.
You know, this is definitely the I need the scrimmage games.
I got you, you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like I didn't get to play in the scrimmages, and I'm back. But you know what? No one cares. There's no, you know,
I got you.
No one cares at all. It's just about results at this
right.
point.
Well, you basically compare you coming back to scrimmage games or seeding games, so to speak. So let's talk about that one story that we've been waiting to hear.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
All right, Anthony. I've got Vegas win totals.
All right.
For the 8 seeding games, as you've appropriately.
The seeding games, yes, sir.
As you have appropriately identified them. The Memphis Grizzlies.
8-0.
I got the Grizzlies at an over-under of 3.
Same on them.
Over-under of 3. I know you will find this hard to believe, Anthony. The win total for the New Orleans Pelicans. They are tied with the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Los Angeles Lakers, for the highest win total, and the Clippers. They're half game back at 5. Their win total's 5. The Clippers, Lakers, and Bucks are at 5.5.
So based on that, it's saying that the Pelicans would be 5-3, the Grizzlies would be 3-5, so it'd be the Pelicans versus the Grizzlies. It means that they'll, of course, beat the Grizzlies in their play-in, in their seeding game, and we'll have a play-in.
Correct. They would be the 8. The Grizzlies would be the 8.
Okay.
They would maintain their position.
They do have us maintain the position.
Correct. Okay. And so the Pelicans would have to beat the Grizzlies twice, which explains the following. Odds to be the 8 seed in the Western Conference. The Memphis Grizzlies, a -120 favorite. So that means for you to win $100, you'd have to lay down $120. The Pelicans have the second best odds at +275. So if you laid down $100, you'd get $275 in return if they were the 8th seed. Portland at +400, and then Sacramento at +1,200. So the Grizzlies are still basically, compared to the Pelicans, they have twice the probability of being the 8th seed that the Pelicans do.
Sick of it. I'm speechless, bro.
5.5 is 5. Them going 5-3 and the Grizzlies going 2-6 seems wildly unlikely.
Right.
I think what we're going to find in these 8 games is kind of what we found
the whole season.
It's really hard to make up that many games.
Right.
Like, you, at a certain point, there's a reason why the Grizzlies went through one of the worst, probably 5-6 game stretches of the entire season, and they lost a half game in the standings.
Right. Without Jaren, without Brandon Clark.
Yeah.
Just made a trade where you got rid of starters.
You traded starters for a player that was not playing.
Mm-hmm. And they only lost a half game on these guys.
Yes.
But the Pelicans are just going to become this team they've never been the whole season. That's what's going to happen. All of a sudden. Because Zion lost weight. Zion trimmed down. So he's going to, you know.
Do we even know if he lost weight? I thought they just said he looks great. And we saw the pictures. And it's like, okay, the guns look great.
But he looked good.
No, I'm not. Yeah,
it was video, so he looked,
Did Zion. I missed the part where, like, I know, like, he's had some weight fluctuations, but when we saw Zion before the break, he looked like a physical specimen.
Right.
He looked like a guy that you can't really explain, which, when he plays well, exactly what he is.
I just think we were worried about him, you know, getting loose on the gumbo and the Popeye's chicken sandwich combo.
I think we were hopeful. I think maybe there was some wishful thinking there as well, but
I'm just ready to get this started, man.
Unfortunately, we still have over 3 weeks.
Exactly. Man, when they first came out the announcement, I was like, just start the games, man. Why are we waiting another month to get the game started?
I think the answer to that, the reason why we're waiting as long, is they knew, all right, well, we're going to have a bunch of positive tests. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to have to quarantine a bunch of people.
So let's give these guys,
right. And then we're going to have to, as we've discussed, they basically had an entire offseason. We're going to basically have to give them an abbreviated training camp. And I think that's why you started to see, okay, well, this kind of makes sense. I mean, when we think about it this way, the Kings and the Bucks just shut down their training facility again.
Right.
It makes it, you look at the timelines, like, okay, by the time July 30th rolls around, it's like, okay, that's kind of about right.
Gives you time to get everybody cleared and cleaned up and recleaned and all those type of things.
Yeah.
Well, Jeffrey, what's coming up next, bro?
Here is what's coming up next, Anthony.
Here's what's coming up next.
Coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to be joined by Jason Fitz at 12:25. Mark Giannotto joins us from one of the lakes up in Wisconsin. He's up there with his family, so it's his turn to be by the phone with me being in studio. Connor will be with us as well. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. George Sedano is going to join GP at 4:25. Jeff joins him at 5 o'clock. Good show, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate you, brother. Well, shout out to Jeff for coming in. He's got one more day off. Appreciate Chris Harrington jumping in as well. I don't agree with his takes on hot dogs, but I do agree with him. I do appreciate him coming in. That was a good one, man. Glad to see you back, bro.
Listen, I did it all for Joey Chestnut. He inspired me. You know, when he was reaching for that 75th dog.
1,000 career hot dogs for
You know what I mean?
Chestnut.
Like, no, what an honor.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
just,
man.
You know, a true competitor's competitor.
It made me feel bad for being off on the 4th of July when guys like Joey Chestnut are
just out there laying on the line for the US of A.
Yep. 1,000 career hot dogs.
It's all about the stars and stripes.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
All right, buddy. Look forward to it.
Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Whether you're in the market for a golf cart or mower, Lads can help you find what you're looking for. From new and used club car personal transportation vehicles to Cub Cadet and Spartan mowers, they know how to make the most of time spent outdoors. Visit them on Facebook to learn more about special pricing for new and used club car golf carts, Cub Cadet and Spartan mowers.
Lads, up your life with Lads. Lads, up your life.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto Body Collision Repair 7 years running by the Commercial Appeal. Call 901-323-2296 in Memphis or 901-850-0022 in Collierville or visit online at Joe Stewart Body Shop.
I'm Kelly Erb with Marksmansdorf Realtors, and I just had to ask. Sheldon, did you really just buy a set of golf clubs and you never tried them out?
Yep, that's right.
And Sheldon, didn't you tell me whenever you buy a car, you never test drive it?
Again? Yep.
Don't you think that's pretty bizarre since you always tell people to talk to 2 or 3 agents when they sell their home?
Yes, it is. I'm Sheldon Rosengarten, and I'm also with Mark Spensdorf Realtors with Kelly. It's funny, we tell people that you should always talk to more than one agent to find out not only what they think about your home, but more importantly, what they will do for you. And you really need to make sure and include us in the interview process.
I agree, because how are you going to find out about our strategic marketing program with the Shell Bucks option? And as people often say, when you want the job done, call Shell Done.
That's Shell Done Rosengarten and Kelly Erb. Call or email us at memphisrelocate.com or 682-1868. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided, but no cars.